Well, hello, everyone. Wake up, sleepers. Rise from the dead.
And Christ shines on you.
This is a special episode of our Conversations podcast. I'd say we have a special guest, but we actually have another host, okay? I'm bringing you the wizard behind the curtain of the wake-up call today, the producer, the director, the guy who's really created everything you've ever seen almost in Seedbed that you've loved, Nick Perot.
Hello.
And we wanted to talk together. We'll kind of interview each other a little bit here, but three things we want to do. We want to talk to you about the origin. I want to tell you the story of how this whole thing started, that what we call now the wake-up call and even Seedbed itself. And so that's step one. Then we want to talk about how it's evolved a little bit. And then finally, we're going to share with you what we might consider to be one of our preliminary magnum opuses.
Opie?
Huh?
Is that opie? Magnum opie?
Magnum opie. Yeah. Yes. In what's coming up in the next series that's going to be carrying us through the Easter season. So, first off, Nick Perot.
Yeah.
Nick lives in the Quad Cities. If you know where that is, that's in Iowa and it's in Illinois, right?
That's right. It's right on the Mississippi River. We're about 2.5 hours west of Chicago, home of the original riverboat gamblers. And it's
what's your particular city?
My city is Bettendorf, which is in Iowa.
Bettendorf. And,
I think there's about 30 municipalities all around that make up the entire Quad Cities regions, but there's four.
But you're not from there, Nick.
No, I'm not. I'm from Canada originally.
Canada. Okay.
That's right.
Well,
don't hold it against me, JD.
We love Canada.
Yeah, that's right.
And Canadians.
I was told when I came in here.
Nick,
everyone's been very kind since I moved many years ago.
Nick has been with Seedbed from almost the start.
Yeah.
What, 2013?
2013.
And he's been our creative director and chief designer, and we've pulled him into 100 strategy meetings. Mm-hmm. And he's been a true gift to us. He's married to Camille, has three kids, Lloyd.
Amazing.
Lloyd. It's not Fiona.
No, it's Iona.
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 Forgive me. Lloyd, okay. Iona, and Wilfred.
That's right. That's right.
And they're probably getting to be about, what, 13, 10, and 7?
Yeah, you're close. 6, 11, 13. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is crazy. So crazy, but they're all amazing. And I'm super blessed to have any of them, that's for sure.
And you see, behind Nick, he is music aficionado, a muse head.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be the right word?
You know, I don't know what the right word is. You know, people always ask how this happens. And I just tell them, you know, every Christmas and birthday gift, you know, for 20-odd years, and it slowly
and so,
stacks up.
In the spirit of my Jacques Derrida story in his famous celebrated library, I got to ask you the obligatory question. Nick, have you listened to all those records?
Well, I know he would say that I haven't listened to all of them, but I've listened to two of them very, very well. I would say I've listened to 90% of them. But this year, starting January 1st, I decided to go back through and listen to every single one alphabetically by the title. And now we're into March, and I've gone through just over 100, and we just crossed into the B's. So
the B's.
The B's. We're going to be at this a couple of years, I think, to really hit them all. I can't listen to a pace of 3 to 4 records a day with meetings and everything. So
have you listened to one today?
I have not yet. I've been talking to you.
Exactly.
That's right.
We started early today, didn't we, Nick?
We did, but we started well. You know, we started really early with the wake up call.
And every day, you're posting. We start very early.
Yeah.
As my dad always says, now, is this going to be on the radio? I'll say, yeah, Dad, it's on the radio. And he'll say, yeah. Well, what time does it come on? I said, it's early.
Yeah. Yeah. Very early. And if it's not at its appropriate time, I get told that there was an error.
We hear you. Such caring listeners.
Folks, we hear you. You know,
what happens is when we mess up the wake up call, we get a wake up call, don't we?
My wake up call is a panicked text.
We're
saying,
glad
what
for it. What happened?
Usually Jake, my fault.
You know what people would say? They still say this over the years. Did he die? I'm like, I'm risen.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. No, I apologize, folks. You know, I'll take all the blame for any mistakes. It's usually because I was trying to make one last final tweak the night before and missed some step along the way. So I apologize. But now, what's great now is we have you accessible in like 4 or 5 different formats. So if we miss it in one, people find any other. It's great.
And yes, and the other thing I want to say is Nick is like he's leading this team. We've got Marin.
Mm-hmm.
Marin is really, she's doing the edits on the video.
Yeah, the video
and
the podcast. Yeah.
And then we've got Holly Jones, who is doing the edits on the written work.
Yeah.
And we have Andrew Dragos, who does the what we might call theological edits and lets me know if I'm borderline heresy in anything I'm saying. So it takes a village
to
do and this thing.
That's not to mention David, who's putting posts on social media.
My son David is running the social media.
You know, we've had so many guest authors. We've had so many people with a marketing touch to try to get a word out. It's a lot of people who touch it in the run of a day or a week.
Yeah, but that's not how it started. Let's talk about the start.
Yeah, JD, tell me. Because, you know, I've been in for a pretty long time, and I remember when we first started trying to take the email and put it into a book form, and we started calling it we had that those nice black square, the daily text, to try to make it like very bold and strong. But I want to know what was the first iteration, the first incarnation of this.
Do you know how this started? I was working up at Asbury Seminary. I was dean of chapel, and I was vice president of community formation. And I thought, you know what? In the church, in the history of the church, if you want to start a move, the first thing you do is you start reading the Bible together. Right?
Yeah.
That makes sense. Like we got a constitution, a core text, and we have a community, and we want to invite the Holy Spirit to come. We want to invite Jesus to become our teacher, and the Word of God is our textbook.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just started asking that question. I'm like, you reckon at this seminary, we could go really back to the basics? This is a place where they're digging the wells down deep into things like the filioque and the, you know, the peripatetic relationship of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's all wonderful. But I'm like, how about we come back up to the surface, get on the ground together? All these students are coming here, and the Bible can quickly become like a workshop, a place of work. I'm like, how do we help each other stay at home in the Bible? And so I said, let's start reading a common text, we called it. And what we did the very start, it was in 2005, we made our first daily reader. I even have a copy right here. It was for Lent of 2005. And you'll notice I drew the cover art, okay? It's one of my mottos is, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing poorly.
At first.
I'm just like, let's get something in their hands.
Yeah,
let's not perfect this endlessly. we can iterate on the way. That's really our story. But we created a daily reader for the 40 days of Lent. And people, I mean, they all have Bibles. Yeah, sure. But the issue isn't having a Bible. It's, I'm always saying, how do we get the Word of God out of the Bible?
And into here.
And into our lives. How does the Word become flesh in our lives? Mm-hmm. And so we pulled texts and readings and we passed them out. Look at it. It's just got its own little homemade spiral bound.
Yeah. Yeah.
People ate it up. They ate this Word. And so much so they said, what are we doing next semester? We started making a scripture reader, reading together every semester. Okay. In time, churches started saying, we've heard about those readers. Could we get some of those for our church for this spring, for Lent, for Easter, for, you know, the fall?
Yeah.
And we're like, well, let's pray about that. Yes. we would love to get you some readers. Yeah. And so we just printed more. And these orders started growing up. And I thought, you know, this is a little publishing company we've got here.
Yeah, right.
And from the very start, we had already started calling this thing Seminarius. We gotten a grant from the Lilly Foundation to help us do this.
Mm-hmm.
The word Seminarius is the Latin word for seminary, because when you're in academic communities, you do fancy things like that.
That's right.
To show people that you know something.
How else are you going to impress anybody?
Seminarius is the Latin word. What it actually means is seed bed. And that's what seminary means. And the whole thing, guys, how do we get back in the seed bed and sow the Word of God in the soil of our lives together?
That's right.
And that's where seed bed started. 2004, 2005 was our first reader. You know, it took us till 2012 to fully move out into something that was really church-facing and world-facing. You know, the other thing we've learned is everything takes longer, is a lot harder than you thought it was going to be, and costs a whole lot more than you imagined. That's just the nature of it.
Yeah, and that's right.
And this is a long game.
Yeah.
We said at the beginning, this is a 50-year sowing for what we hope will be a 100-year awakening. And there's no shortcuts. And it's day in and day out, waking up, growing up, showing up in our hearts, our homes, our churches, and our cities. Yeah. And Nick, talk a little bit about the journey of what we might call, you know, if this was like rough draft, do it poorly, where have we come along the way with this?
Well, I was going to ask first. I mean, I'm even curious to know how the daily entry began to take shape into the form that we kind of all know now. You know, I know originally it was a scripture, and then it was you know,
scripture and like a reading.
So when did it become consider this?
From a saint.
When did we add the prayers? When did you add the journal prompts? I can't even remember. When did the consecration prayer at the beginning?
Yes.
It's all iterated and grown, right?
It has totally grown up out of the ground. And
when
it started, I didn't even write anything at all, because I'm like, what have I got to say? I'm like, I don't have anything to say. And let's get God's word, and let's find somebody who's been dead a while, whose writings have survived.
Yeah,
and we would
right.
put that in there. And then we started calling it, well, it was actually after we got to seedbed proper, you know, in 2012 and 13 and 14, I'd been through another about decade of difficult things.
Yeah.
And it's when you go through difficult things that the Lord gives you things to say.
Yeah.
It comes by hard things.
We must enter. We must go through many hardships.
We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. And who said that? Peter or Paul? One of them said it in the book of Acts.
Someone who knows hardships. you know.
And the Lord just began to craft or bring forth a message that he'd been, that he planted in me long ago, went through a crushing pressing, and now it's began to be wine and oil, and it evolved over time to, I always wanted to say, you know, hear now the word of the Lord. And I want that to stand apart on its own.
That's right. No,
it's another category altogether of another order of magnitude. And then I say, now consider this.
And let's consider this. You're properly aligning yourself.
Exactly. You know? I'm hardly a teacher. I don't consider myself a Bible scholar. I'm a Bible lover.
That's right.
I've studied the Bible a lot, but that's not the measure of my teaching.
Yeah.
And frankly, it's the Lord taught me long ago that if you're going to give something to others as manna, like that's day by day.
Yeah.
He said,
that's right.
You're going to have to learn to receive it as manna day by day.
Yeah.
And that's what it's been.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I wonder how many people listening now are trying to think back how long they've been involved. You know, at New Room, we used to ask people, okay, how many people have come 4 years or 5 years? How many people have been here 10 years? Well, the same goes for the Wake Up Call community. And, you know, it wasn't always called that. It was the daily text.
The Seedbed Daily Text. Let me tell that little origin story.
There you go.
Okay, the most popular devotional in the world, you probably don't even know this, is called the Moravian Daily Text. Okay, this is right out of a place called Herrnhut, which is a place in Germany. Count Zinzendorf, this would have been in the 17th century. There were refugees coming to this wealthy landowner in Germany. It was a place called Moravia, and it was now present-day Germany. And they needed a place to stay, and he took them in. And they established an intentional Christian community there.
Yeah. And that's where we also get bands.
That's where we get bands, banded discipleship.
Absolutely.
Well, the truth of the matter is that Methodism owes almost all of its origins to Herrnhut. John Wesley, this is the story. He was on a ship on his way to America. And the ship was called the Simmons, and it ran into rough seas. And he thought, we're going to die. This is it. And he was panicked. This is when he realized he did not know Jesus. He knew a lot about the church and about Anglicanism, but he's like, I have no assurance that it's going to turn out for me. If this ship goes down, he looks over to the side and he sees a group of families and they're singing hymns on the ship and they're exuberantly joyful. They knew the storm was there too. And he went on to America, had a terrible experience, an utter failure. He was a failed missionary. Comes back to England a couple of years later. First place he goes, he's like, I got to go. Where were those people on that ship from? I've got to find out what's going on with them, that I need that. And he went to Herrnhut.
Now, were they on the boat as missionaries, J.D.? Because the Moravians were like a missionary force for their numbers. The reach that they have is remarkable.
It is. And this is what happened in Herrnhut. They tried to start a Christian community. They could not get along. They were just at each other's throats. And Count Zinzendorf said, let's enter into a covenant together.
Yeah.
And they consecrated themselves, and they had what they called the Moravian Pentecost, I believe it was. The Holy Spirit visited them and illuminated the community. They started a prayer meeting.
That's right.
That day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Yeah.
That lasted 100 years.
Yeah.
And that's where the modern missionary movement was birthed, right out of Herrnhut. Well, one of Count Zinzendorf's practices, one of the community's practices, we said banding. That's where we learned. That's where Wesley mm-hmm. learned banding.
Yeah.
Was every day, every year, they would take 365 Bible verses on pieces of paper, put them into a big bowl. I think the bowl's still there, and fish out a verse for every day. And they called it the Moravian Daily Text. They started publishing those in books with little devotions and a little hymn fragment after. And so, you know, we still like artists.
Hey, good idea is a good idea.
We are Methodists, I mean, and we're like, let's, our deal's been, we've been trying to get back to the roots of what was the greatest awakening in, one of the greatest awakenings in world history, the British Awakening.
Well, and that does get to, like you said, if everybody's just kind of generally here together to be religious together, you know, it can devolve very quickly. But it's, you know, it's putting some guardrails together. How are we going to make this work? And so let's have
pillars?
A regular prayer meeting. Let's have groups of 3 to 5. And what you begin to get to is a real formational movement.
Yes.
Where you begin to make sure that everybody are feeling the same way. We're aligned together. We're all moving in the same direction. And, you know, that's what we've kind of adopted into what was the Daily Text and is now called the Wake Up Call because we realize that we're all spread across not just this country, we're spread across this continent, we're spread across the world, joined every morning together as a family, as the family, the body of Christ,
mm-hmm.
carrying on into the world, you know, with
that
same mindset. It's powerful.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
And we're all in different, many of us are in different denominations.
Oh.
We got United Methodists, we got Global Methodists, we got Baptists. We've got people living in Hernhut type communities in Australia. We've got,
that's right.
There's really
we
remarkable.
Have people in Africa and Canada and, you know, I mean, all across the world. And we have young and old, and we have male and female, and we have pastor, and we have, you know, practicer.
But you know what we're doing, Nick? You know? We're reading the Bible together.
Together.
Simple.
That's right. It's a meeting with Jesus every day.
That's right. We're meeting with Jesus. And he is the teacher of his word.
That's right.
I am a witness just like many other people. And it's still quite small, but powerful, potent.
I mean, it's interesting to see how the community has helped inform what this is. You know, it's the feedback and it's hearing, hey, what, you know, what's resonating? How is this changing your life? What is, you know, God opening your eyes to? What are you learning about him that helps us understand, you know, helps us understand what's going on? Sometimes
yes.
I don't think we know what's happening. We're
this
just,
is a community. So along the way, one of the things we started talking about and teaching on, well, we started putting journal prompts in the daily entries, like, well, it's your turn to talk. It's your
That's
turn
right.
to reflect back. You know, it's revelation, God's word.
That's right.
Response. Okay. What I'm writing every day, that's not revelation.
Yeah.
That's response. And then we come down to prayer. That's response. And then we come down to journal prompts. That's response, where we're inviting people. And people I've had people send me so many pictures of their journals and spiral bound notebooks and scraps of paper. And so we thought, what if we were to make a journal?
Yeah. And because the nice thing is it's actually going, you know, you have a book that you read and you go back to it in a couple of years and you might read it again. And, you know, it'll hit maybe as hard as the first time. You know, I remember reading that.
Oh, you'll totally forgot it. Have I read this before? Because I read it and I'm like, did I write this?
Well, that's just it. It's when I read what I wrote. Like rereading the author's words is okay. But seeing what I thought like seeing how I received it. Seeing the state that I was in, reliving that awakening and seeing it again, you know.
And so we did journals. You got any of those handy?
Well, I mean, we started, you know, we a few people might remember these, which were these Wake Up Call journals we put together. This, we started to make these after we decided we needed to switch the name to the Wake Up Call. because we felt the daily text, you know, was a good homage to where we came from. But when you're starting every day saying "Wake up, sleeper, and rise from the dead," you know, that's what we're talking about.
You don't have to explain what "wake up call" means. When we did Seabed Daily Text, people are like, well, "Are you going to send me a text on my phone?" And it's just too much explanation. I say, "Well, what's seabed?" And then, "Well, what's a text?" And I'm like, "Oh, well, we need a better name here."
Yeah, and it was never about us. The daily text isn't about seabed. You know what I mean? It's about Jesus.
We did the journals. People are like, "Oh, we like that." And we kind of flipped through that, what that looks like.
So what we started doing is, you know, we would just put, you know, we were kind enough to be able to get the NIV to put in there. And so we would put that day's text in. And then we would just give lots of just space to write. But oftentimes we weren't able to get the entry in. Sometimes that might be because you hadn't been written or, it wasn't ready yet. So we were like, well, we'll give a journal piece they can write down. But, you know, that's most of the way there. But then we started to think, okay, well, how can we take, you know, basically a lined journal?
But we started making the books too. You got any books handy? The old ones?
I don't have any of the old ones handy. No.
Hang on.
But I mean, okay. I got one out in my living room. But yeah, we've touched on so many parts of this. Some people remember these field guides for daily prayer. I mean, this is coming out of the same place.
We started publishing the content after the series.
That's right. That's right.
There's encourage one another. There's the domino effect.
Many people, we would finish a series and say, hey, who wants to buy a book copy? And people would raise their hands and pre-order, and then we'd have to race to get it done.
What
and
happened,
it would take
Nick,
a few months.
People would send me pictures of their three-ring That's binders right. that they printed yeah. off every entry and punched holes and put them in the binder. And I'm like, we should start making books.
That's right.
We're obviously not in religious retail here at Seabed. We're sewing, not selling.
Yeah, we were saying today that some people develop resources or they make content, you know, based on what they think people should do or what they should read or what they should hear. And we liked how the Wicked Call community tells us, you know, what we need to be working on and what's landing, what's making a difference. So, but where we are today,
a little prayer book we made.
Yeah. So I just held that up while you were away. We've had these prayer books. These things we had two different sizes of it. People don't know it. This is, I think, Seabed's best selling resource in terms of quantity sold. I just saw a video of somebody in Hawaii who was doing an unboxing. Did you see that?
In another language. Yeah.
In another language, opening up their little pack of daily prayer books, right?
Prayer books. Yeah.
And then of course we had a lot of people know this, the band's field guide was talking about how to work with a band and the importance of being in a group. So we've kind of taken our journal and we've taken our two prayer books and our band books. And then we're taking books like this that just have the daily content. And so what we finally put together that we're launching
is our magnum opus.
April 6th, yeah.
Our magnum opus.
Is a book like this, which is called Unpuzzled, is the first entry. But moving forward, our aim is for every Wake Up Call series to be featured like this, where people can use it almost like a workbook and go along. And all of these entries come, you know, with the entry, the title, the consecration, the verse, writing space. It comes with group discussion guides. It comes with prayers. Many of the prayers that people know, like the prayer preparation to open the word. You know, we have the prayer of consecration. We have the Bible creed in here. We have the sower's creed in here. The prayer of demonstration.
And we've just tried to jam this with goodies. And it's got journal space.
Oh, tons of journal space. That's the whole thing. You get to you can see where you can get your entry. And you can get your questions. You can get your journal space. It's got,
and it's not this little bitty book that you're trying to figure out how can I write in the margins of this thing. It's a little bit larger. It opens in your lap. It falls open. It's made for responding to revelation. That's the point.
Well, I think we came to a point where we realized how can we tell people it's important to read and journal and then not give them a way to do it.
Right.
And similarly, how can we tell people, hey, you know what? It's best. Well, like we say, one Christian is no Christian. Engaging with this on your own in isolation is not going to bring the full experience of encountering Jesus in the we, in the us, in the body of Christ. And so how can we tell people that's important and then not give them a way to do it? So we're like, okay, well, that means we got to get some group discussion guides in here so people can have the help to be able to talk about it. We're trying to take what we feel are the values of this.
That week four conversation guide. You see that QR code? If you put your little camera, your phone camera on that, it'll open up. I'm doing a separate little video teaching each week that will pop up in your group, and it'll be about 10 minutes, and it'll prime the conversation.
That's right. That's right. So this is just this. I'm really excited about these because I feel like we've finally taken, like I said, our core values and what we have always talked about, and we've actually done it instead of kind of dancing around it a little bit. And we'll still probably iterate on it a little bit.
Y'all are going to tell us what we forgot and what it needs. And I've already found things that we forgot to do, but we're not going to tell you what they are because we're going to see if you can find them.
Yeah,
but you know what I've along the way, I started hearing like, oh, we do the wake up call in our Sunday school. And I'd write them. I'm like, well, tell me how that works.
Yeah,
that's how we came up with Conversation Guide, listening to what's already happening in these little classes all over the country.
Yeah. And we hear, too, about people who are in a band and how do they kind of all stay on the same page when one person's in one city and one person's retired and one person's working? How do we all keep on the same page? Well, you know, we all kind of follow the daily text.
Exactly. And their band, they're not doing Bible study, but they're all reading a common text. It's like the soundtrack. And when they get together as a band, they just dive into the band questions.
That's right. And that's going to lead to lots of little Moravias, lots of little Hernhuts.
Little Hernhuts. You know, Hernhut means the watch of the Lord.
Mm.
And that's really what our vision is for every local church.
Yeah,
that's
right.
In America, the watch of the Lord. We're keeping vigil. We're reading the Bible together. We're loving one another. We're actually praying, and we're moving out in demonstration, in mission in the world.
Well, that's right.
It's revolutionary. It's so simple.
Consecration leads to transformation, leads to
demonstration.
That's right. That's right. And if we're not getting it outside of us, then what's it all for? Like, you know, personal transformation can only be understood if it spills out. If it goes around. If I'm not taking that love, taking that light from God and reflecting it like a mirror to those around me and hoarding it for myself, I've missed the point entirely.
That's called fruit. And fruit grows on flourishing trees.
That's right.
It's beautiful. Well, we probably have said enough here today, at least for our first time doing this together.
Yeah.
But we wanted to give you the full story behind what's about to come out. And we want all of you to have a copy of it. So that
this is not the last one, because right after this, we have another one coming up.
We have Dan Wilt
coming with all the things.
Called All the Things. I love the subtitle of that book. It's called Everyday Ministry and the Power of the Holy Spirit.
At the end of our gospel series, JD, we put out a survey and we asked people, what would you like to see covered on the Wake Up Call? And of course, there were all kinds of suggestions about different books of the Bible. But
Revelation. A lot of that.
But do you know what the number one topic was?
Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. People want to know, what does it look like to live in the power of the Holy Spirit? What does it look like
to
move in that way? Well, that's right. That's what our friend John Thompson will tell you.
Yes.
That's it.
But Dan Wilt has written a beautiful 6 weeks. And then coming on the other side of that, we're going into Philippians with a study that we're coming back on some that we've done several years ago, and we're framing them into these workbooks, because we want a church to be able to do Unpuzzle, whether it's actually now on the wake up call or not.
That's right.
We want you to be able to to come into it and experience it on demand in your time as you want to.
Yeah. Do Bible especially study considering many of those were never recorded for the podcast. They're never on YouTube.
Pre-podcast days.
Some of them were pre-consecration prayer. They were some of the other journal prompts or things that we've put in there. So we're just kind of taking kind of what we've learned. And I know in some of these, you've even gone back and taken another look at those and seen how they feel. So it still feels fresh. And I think people are going to, you know, hear it again for the first time, right?
Well, we went from here to here. It's only taken us, what, 20 years? 20 years.
That's right.
Oh, my gosh. It takes, things aren't easy.
Yeah, it's a long obedience in the same direction.
You just keep going. You just keep sowing. You just keep putting the seed out, and then that brings the more seed. And well, thank you, Nick, for jumping in here today.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
We're going to let you get back to your records. You got still a listen ahead of you today.
I got. Do you know what it's going to be? What's that?
What is it going to be? What are you listening to?
Oh, I can't even. I don't remember right now. I think I'm in a Tom Waits record right now. Maybe it's called "That Is Man." I'm trying to think. I have a few. It's a list of, I think, 1,388 albums. So, that's how far along I've got. It's a little psychotic, I think, but we'll get there. It'll last me, you know. This way, I don't have to decide what it's going to be. So, coming up, I've got Randy Newman, and I've got the band, and I've got a group called the Divine Comedy, and I've got the Beach Boys, and I've got all kinds of people coming up in the next week.
And
so
then you're going to get to the seas, and you're going to come to Chris Tomlin.
That's right. That's right. Well, you know, I don't know if he has any records on vinyl, but if he does, I want him.
Well, thank you all, everybody, for joining us for this special episode of
Behind the Scenes, really.
Behind the scenes. Behind the music. There we go. Full circle. That was one of my favorite shows on MTV, Behind the Music.
Totally.
And listen, if you're not aware of the Wake Up Call, we want you to subscribe. You can see links. Yeah. You can see links in the information on this, either podcast or YouTube. But the surest way is to go to seedbed.com/wakeupcall. One word, name, email address, you're in, and we'll be right in touch on that.
Yeah, the absolute best. Anything that people can do in terms of leaving a comment on a video, leaving a rating on a podcast, any of these things, they all help. Not only does it help who you're telling, but it amazingly, these things like YouTube, things like Apple, they'll send the wake-up call for us as we kind of let people know that it's valuable. So any help that people give like that, it doesn't do anything for us. It just gets the word out.
Yeah.
So we're really grateful for every positive recommendation, every share. It's great. And that way we can keep giving this out for free to people, which is
exactly. And that's the thing too, we want to say, you know what, if you can't get a book, hey, it's still free. What kind of retailers are we giving
just
it away
in the front door of the shop?
But it's not. That just shows you that's not what it's about for us.
No.
And anyway, you already knew that, but we appreciate you, and thanks for joining us. And we'll see you. Where are we going to see him, Nick?
We're going to see him on the field.
On the field.